Chamon. Wow, full house. Where did everybody come from? Did everybody go to this church? Oh my goodness. Well, we're going to buckle up, get ready for a ride. I was, I invited a friend of mine to church today. Danny was just talking about his sister. He invited her. I can never stop thinking about the best answer they'll give you to get you off your back is to tell you that they'll come. A friend of mine was going through some relationship problems, and I was almost 100% sure he wanted to come talk to me. And I probably shouldn't have said it. I should have waited until he came here and started talking to me before I said, yeah, and then we'll go to church after. But I think because I let him know we were going to go to church and probably encouraged him to back off or not come. Maybe that's the case, maybe not. I'm not 100% sure, but praise the Lord for the work that we do and that we would just continue to reach out to as many people as we can and glorify his name. That's our goal. Let's open up in a brief word of prayer, and then we'll go downstairs and start dinner. Sound good? All right. Let's go ahead and open up with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, for the time to come and open up your word and think on you. We ask your blessing. We ask for this message that would be your words and not my word, but Lord, that we would be mutually edified. There would be a mutual edification between one another. We thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I apologize. I missed everybody this morning. You know, sometimes pregnancy has its ups and its downs. And today, poor Bethany, if you can keep her in your prayers, she got really beat up by this whole pregnancy thing. So very nauseous. So if you could keep her in your prayers. She's blushing beyond belief right now, but I wanted to make sure I mentioned that once again, that I would appreciate it. I want to take us back to our childhood. For some of us, that's a lot longer than others. But we can still, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. For me, I'm just a young guy, so I don't have to think that far. But we're going to try and take a couple steps back and think back to the good old days, right, of our childhood. I'm a big fan of cause and effect. You do something, it has its effect. What's the best example I can think of? Oh, thank you for appreciate that. The best example I can think of is you work out, you become in better shape. It's cause and effect. Now, as a child, for most of us, maybe all of us, there was a lot of causes and effects. One, our parents told us not to touch the stove because you're going to get burned. You touch the stove, and what happened? You got burned. You believe that if you touch the stove, you're going to get burned. Your parents told you, you knew it, you still touched the stove, and you got burned. Cause and effect. Same thing goes with the iron. I don't need to go into it again, but you get the idea. You put your hand in the cookie jar. We didn't have a cookie jar, but we definitely had a lot of Arabic sweets. You touch the sweets before dinner time, what happens? you got SWOT. 9 times out of 10. Cause and effect. You ride your bike in the street, you get hit by a car. Sometimes maybe you're saved, you're not hit by a car. But these are consequences, causes and effects that take place as a child. Now, in my elementary school, the bully's name was Nolan. You pick on Nolan, you get a swirly. Cause and effect. Do they still have swirlies today? I don't know. But you see, you have cause and effect. It goes with everything. The most important one is you don't believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Where are we going, Steve? You go to hell. It's cause and effect. And so I want to talk a little bit more about this cause and effect as we continue a little bit more of these facts that we know to be true. Yet, doesn't make sense. We know the stove is hot. We touch it. Today we're going to open up in the book of Romans, chapter 1. The book of Romans, chapter 1, and we're going to talk about a specific phrase, which is actually the title of my message. The just shall live by faith. We're going to read from chapter 1. We'll read from verse 1, and we'll continue on, and we're going to stop in verse 17. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith, among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I may have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. For therein the righteousness of God, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so I wanted to read from verse 1 to verse 17, just to give us a little bit of background. Paul writing to the Romans. Now, Paul's purpose of writing to the Romans, we see in verse 15, says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He shares the gospel with this group of believers. Now, the Roman believers were already saved. And so when we think of gospel, I want to make sure I set the guidelines of what we're thinking of today. There is a lot of good news about our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so, more than just the good news of salvation, Paul writes to these group of Romans to preach a broad spectrum of good news about our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if anybody sat down and had a long, maybe, conversation with me, you might find that sometimes I zone out. I apologize. I don't mean to. I have a hard time focusing for long periods of time. And so I've developed a style of teaching, or preaching, I guess, that hones in on one main point. And so if you're like me and are very similar, you might doze off. That's okay. I'm not going to judge you because I'm the same way. But if you're like me, I want to leave you with this. If you get nothing else from what is going to take place, I want to make sure we're all on the same page with this. Studying this portion of Scripture, I came across this quote. The good news of Jesus Christ is more than facts to be believed, but it's also a life to be lived. I'm going to say that one more time. And I want to make sure I'm careful when I'm saying this, because this could be interpreted two ways. The good news of Jesus Christ is more than facts. Is more than facts to be believed, but it's a life to be lived. You might agree with that at first, or you might not. I'm not 100% sure, but let me make sure I explain it very well. I'm not saying that in order to be a Christian, you must not only believe, but also live your life a certain way. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that the good news of what Jesus did, which, remember, there's a broad spectrum, is not only purposeful for our salvation, but also has the purpose to live a godly life. Those are two very strong distinctions that I want to make sure are clear. Okay? Now, I know everybody in here, and so I felt this is an appropriate message for an evening service, just because I know that we are all believers. We have all trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And what He did for us, coming down, dying, and showing His power over death, sin and death, we've all believed in that for our salvation. So praise the Lord. The goal of this message is for us to move on. It's for us to mutually edify each other so that way we can live righteously, so that we can have close fellowship with our Lord. So that way, when we come in the presence of the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, we would have labored together and He would say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So that's the purpose of us coming together, the purpose of the message. I'm going to say it one more time in case if you dozed off. The good news of Jesus Christ is more than facts to be believed. It's a life to be lived. He's going to go on in Romans in chapter 6, verse 1. Probably one of my favorite verses in Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The answer is God forbid. God forbid it. No. Now, if we do continue in sin, is grace going to abound? Absolutely. Where sin abounds, grace doth more abound. But that's not our purpose as believers. If we can turn to Ephesians. I want to read a short portion of Scripture. Verse 8, 9, and 10, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Praise the Lord for our salvation, which is because of Jesus Christ. May we move forward from drinking milk and eat meat together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to read starting from verse 11. It says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire." One more passage. Not the last passage, but one more passage. Before we move on, I want to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You're going to have to forgive me. I wrote down the wrong cross reference. That's what I get when I study out of a different Bible and preach. It happens. Second Corinthians 5:10, you said? Yes. Thank you. "For you must all appear..." I'm going to start with verse 9 because I like it. "Wherefore we labor, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." How often do we think about the judgment seat of Christ? The judgment seat of Christ terrifies me. It should scare every single one of us. Because some of us are going to suffer loss. Some of us are going to stand before our Lord and look at his pierced hands. Look at the scars on his hands, his feet, and his side. and we haven't fought a good course. We haven't finished our course. We haven't fought the good fight. That's a scary thing to stand before the Almighty God. And when we don't get the well done, thou good and faithful servant, when we don't get the reward, we see our brothers and sisters, when we don't have the close, intimate fellowship and glory with our Savior, I believe it's going to be a sad time. Eventually, He's going to wipe away all tears, but it's going to be a sad time to stand in front of the Almighty God that was crucified on our behalf. We're going to understand together what we need to do to live a godly life, so that way we can stand before the Lord and get the well done, thou good and faithful servant. I like in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 13 and 14, it says, "For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Christ died one for all of us. So we are no longer to live for ourselves, but we should consider ourselves dead, yet living for him. Let's go ahead and go back to Romans chapter 1. And we're going to look at 14, 15, 16, and verse 17. So we see in verse 7, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." We're talking to believers here. In verse 14, he says, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise." "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Two things. These Romans believe the gospel. Yet whether they're wise and know the gospel, or whether they're not wise and don't know the gospel, Paul is a debtor to them. Yes, he's also a debtor to the Gentiles. He talks in other portions of Scripture where he is appointed as an apostle to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. We know this is true. In verse 14 and 15, we see that Paul is acknowledging that he knows that they're believers. He knows they've believed the gospel. Yet he's going to preach the gospel to them. There's a lot that we have to learn about the good news of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of edification that happens with the good news of Jesus Christ. Everybody has to hear it. Everybody needs to hear it. So when we're out in our daily lives, at work, or at church, Bible study, among other believers, or among other heathen, whatever you want to call them, we're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Because to the unbeliever, they must be saved. Jesus loved us to the point of death. We must love others the same. To the unbelievers, salvation. To the believer, edification and growth spiritually. Two, we see in verse 15, Paul is ready to preach the gospel. He shares in 2 Timothy, he exhorts him, be instant in season and out of season. Are we ready to preach the good news of Jesus Christ? I'm not always ready. I psych myself out sometimes. Are we psyching ourselves out when we're around our friends or family members that aren't Christians? Do we love them like Christ loved us? No. But we should strive for that. The least we can do is tell a dying soul how they might be saved. I don't think that's too much that the Lord asks of us. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you there in Rose. I like in Luke chapter 6, says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How often are we thinking of Christ? Are we thinking of Him often? Are we thinking of the good news, the things that He's done for us every day, every other day, once a week, maybe in the morning meeting? The problem is we're not thinking of our Lord as much as we ought to. We're not thinking about what He's done for us. We're not thinking of the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's where we lack. If we were, Luke 6 says, out of the abundance of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You better be sure that we would be preaching the gospel to every single person if we were thinking of Christ like we ought to. In verse 16, there's power. There's power in this gospel. There's power in the good news of Christ, as we already talked about the two powerful things of the good news of Christ. To the unbeliever, salvation. To the believer, edification. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. We don't have much time, but we're going to focus in on verse 17 for the rest of our time. We might have 5 or 10 minutes. I'm going to try to finish on time. Verse 17, for therein, in this gospel, in this good news of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Here's where we want to be. We want to be the just living by faith. But the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. What does that mean? It's a tricky portion of Scripture. After studying, we seem to see a pattern in Romans. There's the faith when you first believe, and you must continue in faith, right? You must continue in that which you have heard. And so we see the idea of beginning to the end. In Romans chapter 4, verse 4 through 5, says, now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. There's a gospel verse right there. It's not about working, but it's about believing on him that justifieth the ungodly, Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Romans chapter 13, we see the pattern continue in verse 13 and 14. It says, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So even after salvation, we're putting on in faith the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means from faith to faith. Now, in Romans chapter 1, he says, as it is written. Where is it written? We're going to turn to Habakkuk 2:4. Habakkuk, however it is that you pronounce it. It's a small chapter, hard to find at the end of the Old Testament. Habakkuk 2:4 says this. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. The idea in the New King James says prideful. Behold, he who is prideful is not upright, but the just shall live by faith. So we have a contrast here. Humility is what we're looking at. The just shall live by faith. Humility. Where do we see that humility first? In Jesus Christ. Let us not be like the Israelites at this time who were stubborn, who were called to repentance numerous times, but were stubborn and stuck in their ways. Let us not be like them. But let us look to our Lord Jesus Christ and his humility, that we may be the just that lives by faith. The reason I'm coming with this passage, the reason the Lord laid this on my heart this evening, is because when I stand before him, Paul talks about fighting the good fight. At the end of Paul's life, he knew he fought the good fight. I gave an illustration last time. When you're boxing, when you're fighting, there's no scoreboard. But you know at the end of the fight if you won or lost. May we examine our lives. Have we won or lost this fight? If we don't think we've won, if we were to die today, if we don't think we've won, praise the Lord, Paul says it's how we finish the race. It's not too late. And so how are we going to be this just that lives by faith? Well, let's look to our Lord Jesus Christ. How often are we thinking of him? That will determine how humble we are. May we think of the Lord Jesus constantly. And that will straighten out our prideful attitude, our prideful heart, our stubborn nature. Let's think of him. Jesus Christ, the creator of everything, the one who sustains everything. Born in a manger. All powerful, all knowing, all places. He's everywhere. Sits at the right hand of the Father. Would come in on a donkey and not a stallion. Would wash his disciples' feet? Should I continue? Homeless, rejected, and poor. Despised and afflicted of men. Like a lamb before his shears was dumb. Opened not his mouth. Accused and didn't even... No one took his life, but he laid it down. No one brought him down here, but he came down. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. You want to talk about humility? No one took his life, but he gave it. It is thinking of our Lord Jesus Christ that humbles us. And that's how we live in the righteousness of God, the righteousness that's from faith to faith. And that's how we can be the just that live by faith. May we meditate on our Lord Jesus Christ and die to ourselves daily. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for the opportunity to open up your scriptures and your word. We ask your blessing on this time and the word. Lord, we pray for the food that you would bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.